Our third level of reflection. Why did God become man? We've just said, to save his people from their sins. True enough. But that is not the whole story. In fact, that's where we come in. If we reflect carefully on the mystery of the Annunciation, we shall be struck by a wonderful thing. That while God became man to redeem the whole human race from its sins, where did he start? Let's make sure we understand this divine logic. It can change our lives. He started with one person. He chose a sinless virgin, a young girl. All accounts of the whole of Christian tradition says she was in her middle teens, 15, 16. When in the Oriental world, even to this day, most women are eligible for marriage. God wanted to redeem the whole of mankind until the end of time. Where he started is profoundly meaningful. He started with a young, simple, humble, but make sure, sinless child. How much this should teach us. Sometimes we wonder why we should work on our faults and strive to overcome our sins. I carry my Jesuit ordo for the year around me wherever I travel. I've never fully packed unless I have that in my grip. In there I keep a record, my own special shorthand, of the faults I'm working at each day. God has been good to me. I've been doing this since my novitiate. All I know is there is a lot to work at. My Lord, still? Yes, still. Why? Why should we try to overcome our sinful tendencies? Why struggle with our pride, our passion, our impatience? There are many reasons. This is one. And in a way, in the apostolate, it's the most important one. We are to become more and more sinless, so that God might use us more and more effectively as channels of his grace. All right? It's the long and short of it. Mary's sinlessness was no coincidence. It has ever been so in God's redemptive providence. He uses virtuous people to win sinful people from their sins. He uses innocent people to be the instruments of His grace. And the more sinless we are, the more effective we shall be. The more innocent we are, the more miraculously God will use us as channels of His love. God uses holy people to be the messengers of His mercy. No tricks here, no gimmicks, and nobody cheats. All the paraphernalia of the apostolate notwithstanding, we shall be precisely and not one iota more effective in the supernatural order in bringing the infinite God to finite man. We shall be just as effective as we are holy. The more we are thus gifted, the more profoundly humble we must maintain ourselves. And you've got to work at it. Humility comes naturally to no one. No one. I know. Honest, I know. From the time dear sister Georgine in the fifth grade told me, and more than once publicly, "Johnny, stop showing off." Yes, sister. Telling myself when I open something I have written or published and start reading it, "You idiot, why are you reading this?" The more I say, God has blessed us, the more we must strive, struggle is the word, to keep ourselves low in our own eyes and not allow the demon of pride to deceive us into thinking that what belongs to God is really our own. God wants to make sure that we are always aware that He is the owner of His gifts. And this gift is first of all me. That we are only His stewards. Think for a moment on how differently we use something that, as we say, belongs to us, and something that another person had lent us. That what He gives, He wants to be used according to His will, including our will is His. This is humility we must always strive to practice. And the first lesson of the first Angelus ever said. Second level of reflection. God becomes Jesus. The angel told Mary that the child to be born of her was to be named Jesus. And shortly after, the angel explained to Joseph why this name was chosen in heaven to be used on earth. Why, in other words, the Son of God became man. The reason is because God wants to save his people from their sins. It is remarkable, past belief, how this fundamental truth of our faith can become better, has become obscured. Who ever talks about sin anymore? In an age like ours, when sin abounds in such magnitude as it seems never before in history, when almost one-third of the human race is under the cruel heel of communism, when the church has had more martyrs since 1900 than in all the previous centuries of Christianity. Let's keep telling ourselves this. This is the age of martyrs, and no one else will survive. When oppression of the poor has reached a high point in the annals of mankind, when more people have been killed in war since the turn of our century than in all the past ages of the world, when murder is condoned by civil governments, and only three countries are now left in Europe that have not legislated abortion, when family life is unstable in the extreme, when millions in our country never go to any church, when thousands of priests anointed by the Most High to consecrate his body and blood desecrate their calling by turning their backs on Christ and his church, when tens of thousands of religious, once the chosen brides of Christ, leave the cloister for what? With all of this going on, and let's be honest, not all the sin is outside of us. There is plenty inside of our own hearts. Can we have any doubt that there is sin in our world and that this world needs a Savior? Our third level of reflection. Why did God become man? We've just said, to save his people from their sins. True enough. But that is not the whole story. In fact, that's where we come in. If we reflect carefully on the mystery of the Annunciation, we shall be struck by a wonderful thing. That while God became man to redeem the whole human race from its sins, where did he start? Let's make sure we understand this divine logic. It can change our lives. He started with one person. He chose a sinless virgin, a young girl. All accounts of the whole of Christian tradition says she was in her middle teens, 15, 16. When in the Oriental world, even to this day, most women are eligible for marriage. God wanted to redeem the whole of mankind until the end of time. Where he started is profoundly meaningful. He started with a young, simple, humble, but make sure, sinless child. How much this should teach us. Sometimes we wonder why we should work on our faults and strive to overcome our sins. I carry my Jesuit Ordo for the year around me wherever I travel. I've never fully packed unless I have that in my grip. In there I keep a record, my own special shorthand, of the faults I'm working at each day. God has been good to me. I've been doing this since my novitiate. All I know is there is a lot to work at. My Lord, still? Yes, still. Why? Why should we try to overcome our sinful tendencies? Why struggle with our pride, our passion, our impatience? There are many reasons. This is one. And in a way, in the apostolate, it's the most important one. We are to become more and more sinless, so that God might use us more and more effectively as channels of his grace. All right? It's the long and short of it. Mary's sinlessness was no coincidence. It has ever been so in God's redemptive providence. He uses virtuous people to win sinful people from their sins. He uses innocent people to be the instruments of His grace. And the more sinless we are, the more effective we shall be. The more innocent we are, the more miraculously God will use us as channels of His love. God uses holy people to be the messengers of His mercy. No tricks here, no gimmicks, and nobody cheats. All the paraphernalia of the apostolate notwithstanding, we shall be precisely and not one iota more effective in the supernatural order in bringing the infinite God to finite man. We shall be just as effective as we are holy. I would like to close with a prayer. Holy Mary, how significant that adjective is, Holy Mary. Mother of God, help us to see the wisdom of Your Son in choosing the humble to bring His love to a sinful mankind. Help me to be more humble, more simple, more selfless, more sinless, more obedient, and more responsive to the will of God, so that like You and with You, I too might bring Jesus to a world that so desperately still needs a Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.